And we'd like to invite you back any opportunity that you may have. If you are visiting with us, we ask that you take one of those cards out that you see in front of you. You can fill that out, and there are boxes there in the back that you can place that at. That's just so we can express our appreciation for you being here with us this morning. I don't know about you, but I was extremely encouraged to live with a deeper passion for Jesus Christ by our gospel meeting that we had this past week. Amen? I hope you were as well. But God has blessed Brother Brad Harab with such a gift to communicate the Word of God, to edify and exhort the church, and to build us all up. And in some of my conversations with you, I can see that we felt that. We have felt encouragement. We have felt motivation to live with a deeper faith and to be the people that Jesus wants us to be. However, being a preacher of the gospel, my job is to exhort and also warn. It is so easy. What can so easily happen after gospel meetings such as what we have had and what we see many times is this newfound passion and this newfound zeal and motivation that we have to grow deeper in faith into Jesus Christ, we're tempted to let it deflate, to let it vanish away, to let it go away into nothing, to go back into the same state that we were in before, not having changed anything, not having come away with any kind of pricked heart that embodies a lifelong state of change, just content with the way things were, just content with the status quo. You remember what Brother Brad Harab said? He said, "Satan doesn't mind you at all embracing the title of Christian. Satan doesn't even mind that you attend church regularly. What he cares about and what he deeply hates is when you continually progress deeper and deeper and deeper into faith with Jesus, allowing him to kill remaining sin within you and live in a continual state of self-sacrificial joy, giving more and more of yourself away for the glory of Jesus Christ. That is what Satan hates. Doesn't mind that you call yourself a Christian or that you come to church. He hates it when you take the newfound passion and motivation and zeal from a gospel meeting such as what we have and allow it to change who you are. That is what he hates. Brothers and sisters, the worst thing that we can do right now after this wonderful gospel meeting that we have had is to settle and allow our motivation to wither away and vanish into nothing. So what we're going to do, for the next several weeks, we're going to begin a series called Gifts of Grace, How to Manage Our Spiritual Gifts. We're going to be talking about how we can retain that spiritual fire and zeal, how we can kindle it in our lives and set it ablaze throughout our hearts, producing lifelong service for our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and become all that He wants us to be. We're going to be talking about for the next several weeks what the Bible says on how to be faithful managers of the spiritual gifts that God has given each and every single one of us. So let's dive into this topic together. Take out your Bible with me. Take out your swords. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as was read by Peyton for us a moment ago. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. This is the main text of our series of where our teaching is going to come from. And this morning, as we read as we look at this verse, I want us to draw three things from this passage, take away three things that this passage teaches us. So look with me in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. This is what Peter says, "As each has received a gift, He says, use it to serve one another as stewards of God's varied grace. Now focus with me, if you will, on the first part of verse 10. Verse 10a, that is, he says, as each one has received a special gift. Now, the first thing that this verse illuminates for us is this. God gives special gifts to each one of his children. Special gifts that each and every one of us possess, that has been given to us by our gracious God. Now, these gifts that Peter refers to here are talents, abilities, or special interests which God has graciously granted us. And then in the following verse, Peter generally categorizes these gifts that God has given to us. Look with me in verse 11. This comes from the New American Standard. Verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. Now, in this passage, Peter, he generally divides these gifts into speaking gifts and serving gifts here. And he says that each one of us has been blessed by God with one of or more of these gifts. Some people have been given the speaking gift of communicating God's word effectively and powerfully so that it changes lives and enhances faith. Some people have been given the speaking gift of encouraging others who are hurting, maybe after somebody who loses a loved one. God gives some people speaking gifts of exhortation or encouragement so that our hearts may be built up in times of suffering. God also gives speaking gifts of by the means of empowering church members to deeper faith in Jesus. And likewise, that's not only the only category of gifts that God gives. God gives serving gifts in the form of building things with our hands. God gives the gift of the ability to build things to some people for the purpose of blessing others. Some people have been given the serving gift of organizing things and administering things well so that our activities may be productive and fruitful. Some people have been given the serving gift of making money and the spirit of liberality in giving that money away for the advancement of the gospel. So what Peter says and what God says to us, that if you are a child of God, if you are a Christian, then God has given you a talent, an ability, or a distinct delight in performing a specific task to bless other people with. Now, let's look at the nature of these gifts, the essence of what they are. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, the first part of verse 6 of Romans chapter 12, Paul says, and he's talking about these spiritual gifts that God has given to us. He says, having gifts that differ, and then he says this, according to the grace given to us, let us use them, he says. Have you ever thought about the talents, abilities, and the special interests that you may have, that you have been given, that you've been given to by God? Have you ever thought about those as being gifts of grace? Have you ever thought about that? Just think with me for a moment what grace is. Grace is the giving of a gift in when you deserve the opposite. You don't deserve, when you receive a gift of grace, that's something that you don't deserve. And in reality, you deserve the opposite. The giving of grace is charity and compassion shown to one that is worthy only of punishment and only of disdain. So, if you have the gift of speaking in a way that blesses other people and glorifies God, or serving likewise, then the text says you don't deserve that. That is a gift of grace. And the beautiful fact is that God gives you that gift even when you don't deserve it. That illuminates how special and how beautiful that God-given talent really is, no matter how great it is, no matter how small it is. If I have the gift of building things with my hand, or if I have the gift of organizing things, or if I have the gift of powerfully communicating the word of God, that's a gift that I don't deserve. I don't deserve that gift, God says, but He gives it to me anyway as a gift. Seeing the nature of these spiritual gifts as gifts of grace that we don't deserve will help us to be so much more appreciative of them and to use them to glorify God. Now, I want to look at another thing that the Bible says about these spiritual gifts, their purpose. Number one, the purposes of these spiritual gifts, one is to draw out pride from within us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 6, he says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone." Now, if you look in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, apparently the Corinthian church here, they're being tempted to elevate one spiritual gift over another, one spiritual gift of God's grace, more so than another one. And this led to the church members there comparing themselves to each other and either gloating in feelings of superiority because they have this particular gift, or resenting each other with feelings of inferiority. Now, of course, we know that the root cause of all of this back and forth, judging one another because of their gifts and acting this way, the root cause of it all was pride in thinking that somehow their talent and their ability came to them by their own strength, by their own willpower. They forgot that the gift that they had was just that. It was a gift that was given to them by God. Now, brothers and sisters, we are no different today. Sometimes we are tempted with the same kind of prideful attitude that the Corinthians had in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We are tempted to look at another's talent and ability and either feel superior to that person, comparing ourselves and others to them, or we're tempted to feel inferior to them, leading to bitterness or leading to arrogance. However, we can see in this passage and the rest of the scripture a major purpose of the giving of spiritual gifts. God's beautiful design in giving us different gifts, all kinds of different wonderful various gifts, is to draw out this sinful pride from within us, to expose it, to give us an opportunity to repent and see all people's gifts, no matter how great, no matter how small, as valuable for the advancement of God's kingdom. So that's one major purpose of the spiritual gifts. They help to draw out pride within us and live in a spirit of humility, seeing all gifts as valuable and necessary for the health and edification of the church body. Now, a second purpose that the Bible says that these spiritual gifts have is that they are intended to bless other Christians. Look with me in Romans chapter 1, verse 11 through 12. Let's see what Paul has to say here. Romans chapter 1, verses 11 through 12. Paul says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Now, the translation here, impart to you some spiritual gift, as the ESV says, your translation may say something different, but that phrase there, impart to you some spiritual gift, it's a little misleading because it sounds like Paul wants to help them to develop their own gift, to help them to develop within them their own talent and their own ability. But the text actually means that Paul desires to give the church in Rome here, he desires to give them the benefits of his own spiritual gifts. The text in essence says this, Paul is saying this, I long to see you that I may use the gifts that I have, that have been given to me by God, to strengthen you, to build you up in the faith, so that you may become all that Jesus wants you to be. So, in this passage, Paul is revealing to us a major purpose of the spiritual gifts, and that is, they are given to us so that we may strengthen each other's faith, encouraging each other to continue to walk closer to Jesus Christ. We see this again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 2 through 3. Paul says, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ. Here's why Paul sent Timothy, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. So the reason here that Paul sent Timothy was so that he could use his spiritual gift for the purpose of building up the faith of the church, so that people may come to a closer understanding of who God is and may have deeper reverence for Him and walk closer with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes I think that when you look back on the development of such faith, on the development of your faith, and I was thinking as I was preparing this lesson, in looking back on my own faith, you can see certain milestones where you grew more so in your faith than in other times. As you look back and you see the progression of God creating you into the man or into the woman that you are today, you can see certain milestones where your faith was increased and abounded more so. When I look back on the different milestones of the deepening of my personal faith, I was doing some introspection before this lesson. I can really see that during those milestones, which my faith was deepened, I can see a variety of people all using their spiritual gifts to make me into the man that I am today. I wouldn't be standing before you preaching today if it wasn't for men and women using their spiritual gifts to bless me, to encourage me, to exhort me, to build me up in my faith. And that is the beautiful way that God designs these spiritual gifts. That's the way that they are designed to work. When we use our spiritual gifts, God is working through you to sanctify other people, to bless them, and make them into the man or into the woman that God wants them to be. Our spiritual gifts, our gifts of God's grace, are intended to bless other people. And it's one of the main ways that we fulfill the second greatest command, love your neighbor as yourself, by using the talents and abilities that you have to bless God's church. That's a second major purpose. Now, a third major purpose that the Bible reveals to us concerning these spiritual gifts is that they are to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. And Peter specifically says this in the second part of verse 11 of chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. He says, "So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So when you use your spiritual gifts of grace, you are, in essence, fulfilling your primary purpose in life. You are glorifying and magnifying the name of Christ, making Him look like He really is when you use the talents and abilities and special interests that God has given to you. You glorify the name of Jesus. Now, let's look at a second thing that this passage in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, teaches us. And that was is to be found within the last part of the verse. And this is from the New American Standard. I read the ESV a moment ago, but this is from the New American Standard. The New American Standard here references the last part of this verse, translates it as the manifold grace of God. The manifold grace of God. So Peter refers to these gifts as manifold grace, manifold gifts of God's grace. What does that mean? Manifold is not a word that we use in our vocabulary very often. So focus with me on that word. If you're using the ESV or another translation, it may say varied, manifold, or varied. The root of the Greek adjective here is poikilos, and it has a wide range of meaning in the New Testament centered around the idea of diversity. Poikilos describes something that is multifaceted. It describes something that has varied elements associated with it. But it's interesting that it can also, this word poikilos here, manifold or varied, it can also be used to describe something that is adorned with a various array of beautiful colors. And if you look in the Greek version of the Old Testament, which is the Septuagint, you can see it specifically used in this way. I'm going to read Genesis chapter 37, verse 3. Remember the story of Joseph and the coat of many colors. Look at verse 3 of Genesis 37. It says, "Jacob loved Joseph more than all his sons, because he was a son of old age to him. He made for him a many-colored tunic," or a coat of many colors. Now, the translation here in the Septuagint, many-colored, is the word poikilos, which is the same word that's found in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, translated manifold or varied. Now, this offers a spectacular illustration of God's gifts of grace. God's manifold gifts, His varied gifts of grace that He gives to His people, are like individual colors that make up a kaleidoscope of beautiful artistry. Of the individual spiritual gifts God gives to His people, they adorn the church. They beautify the church with magnificent beauty. That is what this text is saying to us. The various spiritual gifts of grace that God gives to His people make the church to the outside world what it is intended to be. It makes the church look beautiful. Paul says this same idea in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Paul says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, Paul says here that we were created to use our spiritual gifts. We were created as God's workmanship. And then in a passage that we're going to read here in a moment, he alludes to the fact that these spiritual gifts are what make our new identity in Jesus visible for the entire world to see. This is what he says a few verses later in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 through 15. He says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace." So living out, this text says, living out our purpose as God's workmanship, using our spiritual gifts that he has blessed us with, is intended to illuminate God's design of what a genuine human being should be. If you are a Christian, if you wear the name of Jesus Christ this morning, then the Bible says that you are a part of a new kind of humanity. Essentially, you are a new kind of human being that's attempting to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might, with all of your strength, and to love your neighbor like you love yourself. And this text tells us that when you live out your purpose by using your talents, by using your abilities, by using these gifts of God's grace, you inevitably are painting a beautifully colored picture of the way God intends humanity to be. So, God's manifold gifts of grace, they adorn the church with beauty. And how beautiful it is, how wonderful it is when we look at ourselves and when we see each and every single one of us passionately, zealously using the talents, abilities, and special interests that we have. Folks, that is a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing from the outside world looking into the church. When people from the outside look at us and they see every single person using the talents and abilities that they have been given, that's a special thing. That is a beautiful thing in the eyes of a world that's broken and lost. So when we use our gifts, this text is telling us that we are making the church look as God intends it to look, beautiful, perfect, pure, to a world that's lost and dying. Now, lastly this morning, let's look at a third thing that this text in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 tells us concerning the spiritual gifts of God's grace. Now, from the New American Standard, this is from the second part of the verse. Peter says this: employ it, those spiritual gifts, employ your spiritual gifts in serving one another as good stewards, as good stewards. So the text says that each one of us are stewards of the individual gifts that God has blessed us with. Again, steward, like manifold, is a word that we don't use very often. It's not in our vocabulary. But there is another way to translate this word steward that I think is much more helpful to us as we uncover what this passage means. And that is manager. Manager. This text says, employ your spiritual gifts in serving one another as good managers. So we know that a manager, of course, is one who runs things. They make sure that whatever is under their oversight is running at maximum efficiency. You might be a manager in your secular job. You may have oversight over a group of people and are tasked with making sure that group of people is running to maximum efficiency. We know that when a business or an organization is under good management, they will be proficient, they will be productive, performing their particular trade in a way that produces blessing and benefit to everybody around them. But we also know that when an organization is under poor management, it becomes impossible to produce their intended goals effectively. So, this is exactly what we see in Scripture. This is exactly what Scripture says we are in relation to our spiritual gifts of grace. We are managers of them. Our task from God is to use these gifts of grace, to cultivate them in our life and produce blessings and good things with them. Now, I want to ask you, and I don't want to just ask you, but I want you to ask yourself this morning, what kind of a manager are you of your spiritual gifts? What kind of a manager have you been in the past? What are you doing with the talents and abilities that God has given to you? This is a very healthy thing to ask. If God has given you the ability to build things, to use your hands, to bless other peoples, then who are you blessing with that ability? If God has given you the talent to empathize with other people's emotions, then how are you benefiting God's church with that? If God has given you an interest in encouraging those who are hurting, then what fruit are you producing with that? And likewise, if God has given you an ability to proclaim His word, then who are you sharing that word with? Brothers and sisters, much too often, God's people become poor managers of the spiritual gifts of grace that we have been given. And when we become poor managers of God's grace, all kinds of bad things happen. The Bible says that when we become poor managers of what God has graciously given us, we inevitably distort God's beautiful church. Remember the purpose of spiritual gifts. They're intended to make the church look like it really is, beautiful and glorious, as all of us are using our spiritual gifts. But when we fail to do that, when we fail to cultivate and use the gifts that we have been given, we convert those beautiful array of colors into a bland, distasteful piece of nothing. There are so many people today, especially as I look at my generation, I'm a millennial, and people within that category, some of my friends even, there are many people from especially my generation who are leaving the church in droves. And when I talk to them, when I ask them, why are you leaving something that's the mission that's the most important mission in the world? Nothing is more important than the mission of God's church, than seeking and saving the lost. And most of the time they say, because their perception of the church is a dry, apathetic place where people claim to believe something but have no actions to back it up. Brothers and sisters, when we become poor managers of the spiritual gifts that we have been given, we not only hurt ourselves, but we hurt everybody around us. When we become poor managers of God's gift, we fail to live out our God-created purpose. And when we become poor managers, inevitably, we spurn the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of my favorite things to talk about is the grace of God, the salvation, the free salvation that we can find in Jesus. But when we become poor managers of the spiritual gifts that we have been given, we are saying, in essence, by our actions, the grace of God means nothing to me. Woe to us, brothers and sisters, if we are poor managers of God's gifts of grace. And we need to ask ourselves, as Brother Brad encouraged us, what kind of managers are we and have we been? However, at the same time, when we manage our gifts well, when we become what Jesus wants us to be, when we cultivate these gifts that God has given to us, we paint a beautiful portrait of God's intention for humanity to the outside world. We fulfill our primary purpose and we preach a sermon to the world. When we use what we have been given, we say, hey, look, this is the way human beings are designed to interact and relate with each other. And it makes God's church look so attractive when we become good managers of the spiritual gifts that we have been given. When we manage our gifts well and become the people that God wants us to be, we live in the joy of a purpose-driven life. When we're faithful managers in this way, we fulfill what it is we were created for, to love God above all things and to love our neighbor as ourself. And when we embody this kind of service for Jesus and use our spiritual talents in the way that Jesus wants us to, we illuminate the heart of God to the rest of the world, making him look like he really is. Grand, glorious, mighty, spectacular, high and mighty above any other. And we glorify the name of our God when we become good, faithful managers of the gifts that we have been given. So, my prayer is that every single one of us become good managers of the gifts that we have been given. And that's what we're going to be talking about for the next several weeks. We're going to be talking about the specific spiritual gifts that the Bible illuminates, that God gives. We're going to be talking about the rewards of using those spiritual gifts, which gives us ever more so motivation to use them and be the people that God wants us to be. And the warnings, Scripture pronounces many warnings for those that do not use their spiritual gifts. We're going to be talking about those as well. We're going to be talking about how we can discover and develop our gifts. Many times, in my experience, I see when people don't use their talents and their abilities, it's because they've really never made the initiative to discover what they're good at, to discover what gift they have. So we're going to be talking about how you can discover what your God-given talent is and how you can develop that gift over a course of a lifetime. And we're going to be talking about how all of us can stay motivated to use our gifts and be the people that God wants us to be. So brothers and sisters, we've just had a fabulous gospel meeting, but let's not waste it. Let's use it. Let's let it allow us to be transformed. Let's use what we have learned from Brother Brad and this new motivation that we have to dive deeper into faith with Jesus Christ, to develop a resolve to say even more so every day, here I am, Lord, send me. The God of all comfort, the God of all grace, the God that showers mercy and blessing and compassion on all of his children, he's knocking on our door right now. We have to open the door and let him in. If you have any need this morning, if you're hurting in any way, or if you know that you're lost and you know that you need Jesus Christ in your life, why don't you come forward, repent of your sins, confess faith in him, and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Come this morning if you have any need as we stand and as we sing.